Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, here's D.A.
And a happy Thursday to you, everybody. D.A., CBS Sports Radio, coming up your Thirsty Thursday toasts in 20 minutes. Plus, we are stunned to a news. In 40 minutes, Mothership at the Office. Has any of the listeners stood out as potential candidates for Mraz's job? Next week will be Mraz's final week here on the show. And so Pat Boyle has been in all week. We also had EJ Stewart in on Monday. So these guys have been doing awesome. The Diaper D'Aliens have been stepping up. And we just heard the first ever British bacon as Pat Boyle, a.k.a. Tom Doyle, is a big tennis fan. And he asked me, do you think we could do a Wimbledon bacon?
Tom Boyle.
And this was a couple of weeks ago. And I believe that Mraz poo-pooed the idea, but I kind of liked it. And the reason that we did Canadian bacon was coming out of the pandemic, any and all sports were cherished because we had been without for so long. And so we wanted to give the NHL postseason its proper attention. And Mraz is a huge hockey fan. So I said, Mraz, you know what? Take this segment, make it your own. We'll dress it up, make it fun, but, you know, keep it moving. And I gave him a kind of a general structure, I said, to give you some lines to color between, give me a highlight, a soundbite, and a player of the night. And so he did that, and it became its own entity, and it became one of the most popular segments that we do. And now maybe it's spawned something else, because kind of the same way, we don't spend a lot of time talking about tennis here on the show. I kind of generally know what's going on in tennis, but I'm not a huge tennis fan, despite having actually played tennis throughout my high school years. But Pat Boyle is a huge tennis fan. So when he brought this idea to me, I said, yeah, why don't we try that? Why don't we do that? So we just had the first ever British bacon. Although I will note that a listener has a better idea than I did. We called it British bacon. John in PA says, good segment, but missed opportunity. You guys should take some inspiration from the Great British Bake Off and call this the Great British Bacon.
Ooh, okay.
There's a good pun in
yeah.
there.
Well, deuce is a tennis term, and we use it differently here. I thought that we could play off of that somehow.
For now, we'll call it the Great British Bacon.
Okay.
Instead of the Great British Bake Off. Great British bacon. But we have to get the score from Pete the Body. Pete, how many oinks did the Great British Bacon earn? That's a 4.5. Oh, that's a 4.75.
A 4.75.
4.75. Is that so? Okay, so here are my thoughts on this. I don't really pay attention to any of the majors in tennis until the final. And this was a really fun, interesting way to know what was happening. It was slightly confusing because there was a lot of names. It felt like a lot of matches. It was kind of dense and it was long. Those would be my two grade downs. My grade ups would be, and I say this with all honesty, tennis needs Pat Boyle.
Mm.
Because Pat just made tennis fun and digestible in a way that he actually appreciates the sport instead of mocking the sport that tennis could really benefit from. It's oftentimes a stuffy sport. an old school sport. And I think there's maybe just some of the general public that doesn't feel like they're accessible to tennis. They didn't play tennis. They couldn't imagine themselves at Wimbledon, even though the U.S. Open's a pretty good party for the everyman. But that Boyle made Wimbledon less stuffy and more fun. And that was amazing. The singing was great. The jokes were funny. The puns were tremendous. The writing was great. I mean, aside from it being dense and long, I mean, that's as good as it gets in terms of a tennis recap.
Yeah, couldn't have been a five because it was overly long. And this is the line that Boyle expertly usually straddles is rapid fire jokes, multiple layer jokes. But every once in a while, they get a little too much. Today, they're a little bit too much, preventing the perfect score. But I thought all the songs hit. The actual performances of the songs were good.
Tremendous.
Soup du jour off of Ange Jabeur. All the jokes worked.
Alcaraz sent him to Alcatraz.
Right. Emptying his bank account for you. Well, or his checking account. Really well done. To be expected.
It is at the point where we kind of expect Boyle to be awesome.
Right.
But he really did deliver. That's the first time that's ever been done, and it was awesome.
Right. And as a tennis fan, I can say that factually, it was good as well.
And the pronunciations are not easy.
Nope.
Pete the Body, give me why you delivered the 4-7-5.
He made it fun. He made tennis fun. I think it's hard for some people to understand what's going on in the tennis world. That's just how it is. I think that his standard is always top-notch, so the writing and the transitions and they're just very smooth. I enjoyed it very much, and I said it to him when he came in here, his Achilles heel is the length. It was long. You know, if cut it down maybe a minute and a half shorter, because he's doing three matches, so...
Yeah, that felt like six matches.
I mean, Bogus could do an entire update with the whole scoreboard in like 2 minutes. So I cut it down a little bit. I think that's his Achilles heel is length of anything he writes. Everything he writes is great. So, and it was it's hard to judge the first one too, because
that's right.
This is the first of its kind. What, are you going to give it a five right out of the gate? You're going to have to always live up to that five. And who knows if he goes higher than that. So it's a tough way to handle a scoring in the first try. So I think 4-7-5 is very fair. It shows how good he was in terms of his writing, but also indicates the length is too long.
The British accent also to lead things off cannot be forgotten.
He might have got a 7 if he did it the whole time.
Although I do.
I asked if I should do the accent the whole time.
He ran it by me, and I thought, it would be distracting if he did the whole thing in British accent. There was a flavor of Australian in there as well.
I was going to say, if there's a linguist listening, we do need a clarification. It did sound more Sydney than London to me.
I kind of did want a Bloomin' Onion.
Yeah, right.
It was a little Robin
Leachy. That's not a knife.
But it was, it was excellent. Dan tweets in, Boyle's back. That was the bee's knees. Mraz will have his knickers in a twist after that one. Bloody well done, my good chap. A dude in Texas tweets, phenomenal Wimbledon coverage by Boyle. Dixieland Dan says, is there nothing this man can't do? Are you not entertained? How in the world can he be this good on something that's never been done before? That's a five-oinker based solely on him being able to pronounce the names of these players. Get this man a champion belt, hashtag GOAT. He does have the bacon trophy.
Mm-hmm.
I should have brought it. That was Dixieland Dan that said that, by the way. That's my guy. Is my guy.
Yeah, he's got your back on just about everything. He loves you.
I'll go to war for Dan.
So tomorrow, do we do this again? Was this a success enough to where we run it back tomorrow?
And we got two matches today, two men's matches to preview tomorrow. Plenty of material.
I say yes.
I think we run it back.
Yeah.
I think there's a Friday Wimbledon, and then the finals are this weekend.
Yes.
So Sean can do it on Monday.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I mean, he has to, right?
Does he have to? Do we throw right in
that
there?
That would be. Tell him Monday that he's doing it.
We're barely making him do any work next week. Next week is the last week of high school where you don't take any tests. You just kind of walk through the hallways.
Or high school for Sean.
Or the entire tenure.
otherwise known as the 5 years of high school where I spent at West Babylon High.
Right. Two lunches, no tests.
Right. He's going to get gifts. He's going to get a round of applause, a bouquet thrown at
him. Guys can all sign his yearbook.
Red carpet.
I do have some surprises set up for next week, which I'm very excited about. I'm very excited.
And if he doesn't want to do any work, I'm already starting to try to book guests for next week for him.
I see.
Oh, don't do that. Don't book his guests.
Well, I want to finish.
Try to book at least a week.
I'd like to finish the work I
Why
tried
would he start
to start.
Now, Pete? Oh,
that's true.
That will be something we have to alert the new producer to. Hey, the precedent has been set that everybody else at the company does most of your work for you, picks you up when you've fallen or failed. That's not the way this is supposed to be.
Exactly.
Everyone's going to expect to have to do your job. Remember, it's up to you to do your job.
Yeah. We're returning to the truest form of producer. Like, you need to produce guests and segments, not just embarrass yourself on air, off air, and to give us content.
We're returning to your regularly scheduled producer.
It is a thing. I mean, I hate to go too deep into the wormhole here, but it has become a thing with Mraz where he morphed more into on-air personality than he was producer. And there was even parts of me, and this is so far from where my radio DNA comes from, that I would sometimes feel guilty about giving him producer work. I really would. It'd be like, no, we got to do this. We got to have this audio ready. We got to... And it would start to become like, well, Mraz doesn't really do that, you know? So, like, somebody else has to do that.
Who can guess? Oh, he doesn't do that.
I mean, really?
Forget that.
When you think about it, there were a few things he did. He posted the podcast every day.
Yeah.
He did book a guest a day. That's what I said. Look, I'm like... Most radio shows do multiple guests. They want this, that. I don't want that. I just want one guest today.
I'll go down this hole.
And if we go no guests, it's fine. I'm fine with that. It's like I'll write the production pieces. I'll get them to our production department. I'll make sure the opens are ready. I'll search for that audio. You know, Pete will pick up the slack on this, that, the other thing. Like we kind of allowed Mraz to just be... Crazy Mraz.
There was a whole lot of settling.
Like when he had to run the board the one time, it was.
That's right, but I got sick.
Mraz puffing out his chest because he was in such fear he wouldn't know what to do. And then suddenly was like, oh, I pressed the right button. Oh, I could do this. But like, he can't go back and work with Cap on graphics. He can't. I mean, it's just, we kind of let him play by his own rules.
Yeah. And the guests that he booked came from two columns. Guests that were presented to him by PR people because they were pushing something, or people he knows. Like, he didn't, you know, he wasn't going out and doing like real, making phone calls or phone call, finding sources, finding links. Like, a perfect example is when Pete's car got vandalized and Paul Rudd was involved. A quote-unquote real producer would have figured out how to get Paul Rudd on the show, or at least tried to get Paul Rudd on the show, found who his agent was, gone that way.
Just tried.
And Sean went, I'm good.
We don't need that.
Especially at the time, Paul Rudd's standing there. You can't ask for a card, right? Can't ask for an agent number or
nothing.
Anything like that.
Nothing.
Or even thinking, a producer would think, this is a great story. We got to try to have Paul on the air. Maybe I'll plant a seed. Maybe I'll, like you said, reach out to his agency. But just, Mraz doesn't exist in that producer world. That's just not, his head's not thinking about that. It was just in the moment. I'm going to talk to Paul Rudd about the car and then tell the guys I talked to Paul Rudd.
Yeah. Right.
So the next producer will be asked to think a little bit more like a producer may usually think.
I'm glad you brought up the Paul Rudd thing, because now it brings back some bad memories of having a windshield smashed and not being able to meet Paul Rudd.
Yeah.
And we never got the payoff.
No.
Well, Sean been a producer, you might have met Paul Rudd after the fact.
We have found the first responsibility for the new producer.
Book Paul Rudd. That'd be great.
But the problem... The problem, though, is it's been a long time now. Paul Rudd might have forgotten about this.
Well, true, but it makes the bit even funnier.
It is what tough. Happened? It is tough to forget somebody's windshield getting smashed in now, right in front of you.
You're forgetting he's Paul Rudd. Like, his regular day is full of things that would be amazing to us.
Oh, that could, he could remember that.
Maybe.
Because it was really, like, it was a giant hole.
True. But if we're going to use all of 2024 to find Sean's replacement, then by 2025, yeah, Paul Rudd's right. going to be out of memories.
He might be retired by then.
How long do we milk this bit for?
And FAN is keeping receipts. More than one person has already said, will you take Sean back? They're pre-fed up with
is
Sean.
Is that right?
Oh, yes. No.
The show hasn't even started
not
yet.
Not even started yet. There's already some skepticism.
Well, if we thought his ego was out of control at CBS Sports Radio, what happens when he's on the largest blowtorch in sports yeah. radio in North America?
I said the other day, the videos are fun and clever, and that's it's good in small doses. Best of luck every day with that. Right. And they all nodded knowingly that that's now the problem.
Especially when he's hired for it.
Right.
That is only going right. to douse gasoline all over an already raging fire.
You've uh-huh. hit the peak with Mraz. That's it. That's it.
It's all downhill from here?
That's it.
So essentially, he built his career on our television show, and now he's getting A-list movies. Right. And now those producers and directors have to deal with him, and we go back to our TV show.
He's the unsung hero in the NBA that gets the max contract from a bad team. And then gets injured in the first year.
It's like trying to put Johnny Knoxville in a real movie. Right. Like, if he's not going to try to kill himself, he's just going to straight act. You're asking for problems. And immediately, like, oh, P.S., you can't be Mraz anymore. Yeah. You're Sean Morash.
Right. Johnny Knoxville doing Saving Private Ryan. It didn't happen.
Yeah, that's right. Now he's Jonathan Knoxville.
Right. Corporate Morash.
John Knox.
Jonathan Knoxville.
Yes, let me ask you something,
Jonathan
Sean.
R. Knoxville. The next Tom Clancy novel movie.
Right. Sean, could you explain the Knicks cap situation to us? I can't.
You know that there is
but
a
I'll
cap.
Eat something.
I'll eat something for you, and then I'll soil myself.
I'll eat a Knicks hat. I can do that for you.
Right. And you have to imagine there's going to be some point where they ask him something like that, and he gets nervous and goes, what can I eat? He starts sweating beads of sweat on his forehead. I'll eat that cheese thing.
Get the Crave case. I did it over there.
Is there a fish tank full of water I can drink?
Gimmicks, gimmicks.
Speaking of fish tank, you guys know my Aunt Diane and what she did one time?
I told you about Bradley Schwartz.
Now, who did his mom grow up next to, or his dad? Was it Britney Spears?
No. Lindsay Lohan's mom.
Oh, yeah.
Let me tell you about D. Lohan. We were just having a conversation about the Knicks cap situation.
Right. I got nothing on R.J. Barrett, but...
See my summer hat.
Dina Lohan. When we come back, it's a Thirsty Thursday, and we are stunned to a news. And I promise I'll get that Kyler story in. D.A., CBS Sports Radio.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We're toasting to the good life.
I feel alive.
We are feeling good and doing well.
How many beers ago? Probably 1,000.
It's the DA Show's Thirsty Thursday.
Celebrating with some booskies.
All right, we toasted the good stuff on Thursdays. Pat Boyle, lead us off. Who are you toasting?
I got to toast Andrew Bogish here, the bogeyman, a kind sir. Not only is he handsome, and he's got some great blue eyes, and he's a pro's pro and a locker room leader in the update closet, the update chair. But he's also taking care of breakfast this morning, which is something that is applauded.
And regrettable, after I just heard you call in the order. Is Pete getting three meals out of me?
No. Four items.
It's only a 12-ounce steak.
Yeah, a lot of lobster this morning.
So cheers to Bogish for, you know, going out of the way and taking care of the show for breakfast. Didn't have to do that. Didn't have to offer the card, but said, here's the menu. My card's on it. Go crazy. Go wild. So toast to Bogues.
Hashtag toast to Bogues.
Go crazy, folks. Go crazy.
The end of our night.
Yeah. Pete the Body, who you toasting to?
I am toasting my buddy, Timmy Bilotti. He is advanced. He's in the second of three stages in potty training.
Okay.
And he's doing very well.
You're not falling asleep on the potty?
No. But he's doing very well because my wife has a whole structure in place because she's a teacher. So she knows she has a certain way to do it. And he's doing very well. And he has to learn before he goes to school in September. So nursery school in September. So I toast my son for doing a great job.
All right. Walk me through this here, Pete. What age do I start trying to drop AJ on some plastic fake kitty toilet seat?
I believe it's like 2.5, 3.
So you're changing diapers through the first two and a half years.
Yeah. I mean, you could get ambitious and go beginning of two, but it's like 2.5, 3.
And then the first thing is, you have to predict when it's coming and then just drop them on a bowl? Like, no, you want to do it here?
There's many ways to do it. We are sending him in there like every so often. And then we ask him, hey, do you have to go to the bathroom? He'll always say no, but we'll say, hey, go in there. So it's getting a routine in, and then eventually we'll get into.
So he's on step two. He's got to get to step three by September?
Yes, and I think he will.
Is that doable?
He might get to step three by the end of the next week.
Okay, yeah. So the steps move quickly.
Yeah.
I'd have to get confirmation from my wife, but for at least for our second kid, if not the first one too, like we went like really dramatic where you kind of like keep them in one room and you put like almost tarping
kitty
down.
Kitty litter down?
Not kitty litter, but like tarping. And you kind of just leave them in their underpants so that they almost have an accident and they don't like it. And that's what makes them learn to know it's coming
right. To
go take me to the bathroom.
That's a method. We're doing something, not all that. We're doing we're keeping them on one floor. Like he cannot go down into the TV room. He's staying on the main floor of the house. And you have to go to the bathroom,
Yeah. It's like it's in the same family of the cry it out method when you're teaching them to go to bed. Like you just have to sometimes just sit there and let them freak out and not address it because they need to learn to calm themselves down, to lay down, to go to sleep. So this is along the same lines where it's almost like you just go from 0 to 60. Even now, they're like throwing babies in pool because like when you're less than like 6 months old, like just instinct takes over and you swim.
Yeah.
And like that's how you teach them to swim before they can even like walk basically.
Yeah.
It's all this very like intense, bare bones, like straight back to like nature thoughts.
Does this all sound so exciting, Pat?
Yeah, totally. I can't wait to have kids.
Doesn't marriage and family and children and childcare sound amazing?
I get angry. I lose my lid pretty quickly on like mundane things. If I actually had real life stress like you guys do, oh man, you don't even want to see the kind of guy I'd become.
Andrew Bogus, who are you toasting to?
Booskies to the little voice in my head that saved me from mini disaster this morning. I wake up, I'm getting ready, I'm starting to walk out the door, and I can't find my glasses that I'm wearing right now. There's like three or four places in the house that I leave them behind sometimes, so I make my little route, and I don't see them. I think, okay, maybe they're in my bedroom. I left them in there. I don't want to go back in and wake my wife up. No big deal. I don't need my glasses. As I'm starting to leave the house, I remember that last night, had my glasses on, had them kind of tucked into the front of my shirt. As I was getting out of the car, they were like loose on the shirt. I fixed them. But that reminded me like, oh man, maybe they fell off my shirt. So I'm out there in my driveway now, phone flashlight going.
I can't find my glasses.
I can't find my glasses, Velma. Exactly. And I go, all right, so they're not out here. They must be in my bedroom. I'll be fine. I'm in my car, about to close my door, and something in my head goes, again, you took the garbage out last night with them hanging up around my shirt. Get out of my car, go to the curb, flashlight back on again, get to my recycling bin, and nestled in between empty soda cans are these glasses. Now, my garbage guys come at like 6 a.m. My wife wouldn't have been awake if I had a second thought of, please just go look at this. They would have been gone in the recycling, never to be seen from again. So again, whatever told me, reminded me last second, hey, you took the garbage out, go check. They must have fallen off my shirt when I bent over to put the bin down. So, Booskies to, again, Booskies. The little voice inside.
Hashtag Toast'em.
That story never ends well.
No.
When you forget where you lost something and you go and you backtrack, nobody ever finds the stuff that they lost.
Yeah.
Ever.
And I the sprinklers had gone on, so they were soaking wet in the empty beer cans and soda, but they were sitting right there on top of it.
Huge.
I guess I didn't hear it fall out, so thank God I had that last thought.
Huge. I'm toasting to my mother-in-law because as two young parents, AJ's now 7 weeks old, we took AJ on a little road trip for the 4th of July week and spent it at the in-laws. And, you know, when you're a young parent first time, like, it freaks you out when your kid is freaking out and you don't know what to do all the time and you go through the checklist. I've talked about this. And just when your kid's crying a lot, you're like, I must be doing something wrong because I've never done this before and he's crying and I'm totally messing this up. And you don't have a lot of space to like do anything else. It's not like my wife and I have had a date night since he was born. It's not like we ever get to do anything together unless he's sleeping. And so to go to the in-laws and to give the baby over to my mother-in-law, and for her to just be so calm, like, yeah, I got this, is such a relief, because when you're a young parent, you're just like always on edge, and she's like, yeah, it's fine. So we got to go out and have dinner once, we got to go out and have lunch once, and that's just amazing freedom. But then something that she said that I'll always remember, we came back from dinner, and of course you're all like, I hope he wasn't terrible, I hope he wasn't crying, I hope he was quiet, I hope he went to sleep. And she's like, no, he cried a lot. I'm like, so sorry, so sorry. She goes, it's fine. Babies cry. And I was like, that's such a good reminder that it's okay, because this is just what happens. And people that are patient and people that like have done this before just get it. So that's just a good reminder when you're freaking out about something and somebody goes, yeah, don't worry. Life happens. Like, everyone lives. You're like, that's right. That's a great reminder. So she gets the Booskies.
Booskies!
My mother-in-law, Elizabeth, was awesome. Booskies from you guys. Toast 'em. Hashtag toast 'em.
Hashtag toast 'em.
It's really Dylan tweets, I'm toasting to the fact that I'm now in a financial position in life where I can routinely spend absurd amounts of money on pro wrestling tickets. Hashtag Booskies.
Booskies.
That's Pete's burner.
Yeah.
What age is that, Pete? Is that like first job you start? Second job?
Yeah. And then you get to the point where you are a fan and then you see the prices and you're like, all right, it's time to get some formula.
What's the stage where you lie about being off Because you're traveling to a major wrestling event.
Well, first of all, I never lied about being off. I never said where I was going. That's totally different.
You withheld the truth.
That's right. I need to know what I'm doing on my day off. That's my business.
At what stage do you stop watching it? Because it's fake.
Another guy. Another wrestling's fake. Oh, the wrestling's fake.
Pat was so high on Pete's list right before that comment, and now he's dropped all the way below Avery in the Bay Area.
Let's talk about Wimbledon for 6 minutes.
I mean, again, at least it's real.
And no one's watching.
This morning, the ESPYs are on in my little booth TV, and there's two wrestlers giving out an award, and they're up there doing their shtick, like, what should we win for this and for that? I'm like, well, again, somebody told you you should win those things. You didn't, you know, when you use your cash out bonus to win the title, because somebody in Stamford, Connecticut wanted you to do that. It's a little different than an ESPY for winning the World Cup or the Super Bowl.
Look at their checkbook.
That's fine. It's just not a sport.
All right.
I was in love with WWF, and even when it first became WWE, even when I knew it wasn't real, it lost its luster 15 years ago. It used to be phenomenal. I think that was for all ages. I just think it's not a great product anymore.
It circles back to one of Mraz's greatest wars ever, which was with Taz,
right,
over who gets into the WWE Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
And Mraz's point was, well, couldn't anybody, as long as they write you into the Hall of Fame?
Yeah.
And Taz felt like that was very disrespectful to the great wrestlers.
Oh, well, it was.
And so it's
how you didn't say it to Taz's face.
It's a war that still burns. It's the 100-year war.
We don't know if Taz has forgiven him.
I don't think he has.
He hasn't.
Yeah. He might have forgotten that Sean exists, which is like a different form of forgiveness. And I usually am not on Team Sean, but I was mostly on Team Sean. And this one, now, there is an argument of, okay.
Take a hike, all right?
Here's my pro wrestling thing.
Take a hike.
Go to another Dave Matthews concert.
Pete, get him.
Another thing that's not at the ESPYs, and that's fine. I'm not putting on ESPN.com what the set list was last night. I'm not telling you that Carter Beaufort, the drummer, is just as good an athlete as LeBron.
Who's
the best lead man in sports? Dave Matthews, LeBron James. We ever had that conversation?
Whoa.
No.
So what was going
to
be your argument?
So like there is a validity to, yes, there's writers, but they have, like, Hulk Hogan was Hulk Hogan. Like, it's almost like an acting Hall of Fame. Like, he played the role correctly and then earned the path through the writer's room to all of those things. So, like, you do earn your way in, but again, it's just, when it all began with a conversation, people getting angry in the newsroom here about who should be in and who should be out, like we're discussing whether Barry Bonds should be allowed into Cooperstown, it's just not the same thing.
It's such a take the icing off the cupcake argument. It's such a low-hanging fruit. It's ridiculous. It's gone on for years. It's a horrible opinion as far as I'm concerned.
Steven in South Carolina says, I'm toasting to the fact that our 8-month-old is finally sleeping through the night, and I finally got some sleep. P.S. I've got a pitch for the producer role. You and Pete the Body should have baby races. Hashtag Booskies.
Wow. Booskies.
Kerry and AJ. We start them at the sidewalk, 345 Hudson, right outside of our building, and let them make it to the homeless guy in the end.
Yeah. I mean,
or in the front.
Or the side.
Across the street.
Or outside our studio.
But there is like a week-long bit in where we get people who are completely unqualified for different reasons to do Sean's job as well as Sean did it. Like, to prove how easy it was to be Sean.
That's October.
We've done that before.
Dopetober.
Did that before, though.
Dopetober. We've done that before. Yeah. We actually have done that.
Hey, remember when Mraz decided he wanted to go on strike?
That's when he was on strike. And we had a listener come in and do Mraz's job with absolutely no training problems or experience.
No problems whatsoever. He actually did a great job.
So Mraz was on strike for what, 2 days?
Yeah, he was holding up a sign back here. We're icing him out. He wanted to get on the air. That was actually probably his best moment.
Your favorite 2 days ever.
Yeah. That was excellent.
That was really good.
Yeah, because he called out DA, I'm going to go on strike. And then we said, all right, go on strike.
Yeah. He said, go on strike. We'll see if the show moves on. didn't notice a thing. In fact, it ran better. I wish I could remember that listener's name. We had him come in and sit in that seat and answer phones and cut audio, and he was fine.
Right.
He was actually really good, but he was a scab. He broke the strike.
He walked past the rat. In this case, it's a big, giant inflatable of Mraz.
We could sit an actual rat in that chair and see what happens.
Pizza rat could do the job better. I'm distinctly confident of that. Andrew Bogish has headlines.
Guys, LeBron never disappoints. If you're looking for lame, cheesy, overly dramatic self-promotion, we've been wondering if LeBron was really considering retirement. Since his remarks after the Laker postseason ended, we got our answer last night at those ESPYs.
The real question for me is, can I play without cheating this game? The day I can't give the game everything on the floor is the day I'll be done. Lucky for you guys, that day is not today.
So natural, so organic.
Lucky for right. you guys. Who announces I'm coming back to play? Lucky for you guys, I've decided to bestow my greatness upon you one more time.
And either he's terrible at being sarcastic,
right,
or that wasn't a sarcastic lucky for you. It was an actual congratulations, I'm still playing basketball for you.
And I love LeBron, but there are moments where you're just like, dude, who is writing your decisions? Lucky for you, today's not the day. Nobody thought you were going to retire at the ESPYs. That wasn't part of the anticipation of the event.
Go ahead. No, and he also had his wife present the award, and she said, with all due respect, here's the GOAT, my husband, LeBron James.
You can't do that.
To me, this is why you can't have that debate of Jordan and him, because Jordan is a totally different mindset in terms of the publicity. LeBron loves milking it for all it's worth. They're two totally different people.
He does, but it's interesting because I don't think you can decide the GOAT based on how awkward they may be from a publicity standpoint.
Right.
But it is true that it does seem to take away from his legacy because he does do things like this. You're like, come on.
Yeah, beginning of his career, he was just playing basketball. You know, you didn't have any of these problems.
Lucky for you. That's a funny way to come back. Come back. He didn't retire.
This should surprise nobody. There are some last-minute issues with the sale of the Commanders, according to the Washington Post. Significant issues, but maybe also a late attempt from Dan Snyder and his lawyers to get something out of the league. This would not kill the deal, just delay it, maybe. Owners, for now, scheduled to vote on it at meetings next week in Minneapolis. The Dodgers and Padres will start the next baseball season with two games in late March in Seoul, South Korea. There will also be games next season in the Dominican Republic, Mexico City, and London, all places that Sean can't spell and or find on a map. Panama has knocked U.S. men's soccer out of the Gold Cup, taking their semifinal in San Diego on penalty kicks. Panama faces Mexico in the final on Sunday in Vegas. WNBA last night, the Dream down the Storm, 85-75 for a sixth straight win. And the Aces roughed up the Sparks, 97-78 to reach 19-2 overall. And now, why don't we get stunned?
It doesn't take much to surprise this bouncing baby boy.
This is honestly the most stunned I have ever been on the show to a news.
The DA show is stunned to a news.
It almost sounds like a bad football food of the week. Hey guys, I've got an idea. You take a cheeseburger, but you take the burger out, you add more cheese, and you eat it. This is what Burger King in Thailand is doing on Sunday. Restaurants all over the country introduced their real cheeseburger.
This is only in Thailand.
Only in Thailand for now. Hopefully, only for now. No bun. I mean, no burger. No nothing else. It's literally 20 slices of American cheese between two pieces of bread. Now, some pictures have shown it completely unmelted. Others have it a little gooey and ooey, but either way, it is 20 slices of American cheese. It was selling very well, but getting limited good reviews because, not surprisingly, it is an overwhelming amount of cheese. I don't even know how you actually can bite through it. It looks so thick and undelicious.
Oh, cheese.
God.
I mean, it's just terrible. But they're selling it this week for now, and people are buying it for now. Hopefully it only stays in Thailand. But if it doesn't, please don't eat this.
It looks horrendous.
Horrendous.
Absolutely horrendous. There's no lettuce. There's no tomato. There's no sauce. There's no meat. There's no burger. It is just a bun and 20 slices of American yellow cheese.
It's cheese on cheese on cheese.
The cheese hasn't melted. It just looks horrendous. I wonder if this was meant to go viral.
Yes.
But it's also distinctly cheaper than an actual cheeseburger. Apparently, this is what I'm reading, that a cheeseburger at a Thailand McDonald's, or Burger King in this instance, is about $10. And this one's going to be $3. So is it possible that they're just giving a cheaper alternative for people that can't afford a $10 cheeseburger?
I mean, and it's certainly not a, hey, we're trying to not use as much meat as we're using. Like, this is not your weird vegetable chicken nugget argument. This is just, I think they want something to be weird and unique and people to try and eat it and film themselves eating it and buying it. It's literally just for PR.
Guys, if we were to eat the real cheeseburger, what is the effect it would have on your body?
Debilitating.
How could it not?
I mean, these people, what a bunch of horse's ass at Burger King to come up with this idea. We couldn't do, you can't do the Beyond Burger, the vegetarian burger. You are going to do literally stack 20 slices of cheese between a non-toasted sesame bun. You might, like, if you're going to do it, just call it a grilled cheese. It's Burger King's grilled cheese, and actually make it look good. No. We're going to put 20 unmelted slices of cheese between an untoasted bun. And you idiots out there on TikTok, you're going to try to go viral just by eating it and saying how gross it is. And meanwhile, we're taking your money out of your pockets. No, you will never catch me. Ever catch me doing something as stupid as this.
Delicious, warm, yellow cheese.
I don't think there's any way I could digest that. I think that no. I would take one bite and it'd be like, ugh, okay, I'll swallow that. Two bites, maybe. By the time I would get like halfway through, it'd be like, oh, my stomach feels like crap. I can't finish this. And if I did, it would be a major Mraz situation.
Yes.
Oh, a DA oopsie.
Or the opposite. That could plug you up for days.
I think it would have to somehow come out because I don't think my system could digest 20 pieces of unmelted cheese.
Nobody's can. Whoa. Nobody's can. And I'm still somewhat lactose intolerant. I'd have a big problem. Big,
nothing better.
Big problem.
Because, like, what's a good, like, ooey, gooey, stretchy grilled cheese? Maybe 4 slices of cheese?
Right.
Probably. Yeah.
Maybe 5 to 6 at most.
Depending on the thickness of the cheese.
Piece of Texas toast.
Right.
Yeah.
And the bread, too. 20, again, we're 4 or 5 times that.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, this is as tall as a tall burger with topping. So imagine trying to get through that height of cheese.
Yeah.
It's so gross. When we come back here on the show, have any of the listeners stood out with the producers' interviews? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
This year like last year, the best is right here on CBS.
It's the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Listen to us on hundreds of affiliates nationwide and also on Sirius XM channel 158. Plus, you can use the free Odyssey app or the free CBS Sports app. Michael's in Tennessee. He'd like to interview for Mraz's job opening. Michael, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing well. Now, I'll ask you, what do you think you could provide the DA Show? How do you think you would make a good fit?
Well, I think I could provide some Southern charm in there, but I also believe that I could provide some Southern slang, some Southern sports, anything like that, I'm happy to bring to the show.
Okay, that would be good. We could use that. Tell me, Southern slang, what are we missing up here?
We could bring y'all up there, how Yen's doing, different stuff like that. Up here, you know, living in Tennessee, close to the mountain, you never know what you're going to hear around here.
Yeah, that's a good point. Tell me what you would do differently than Mraz.
I would get my song lyrics correct probably with a lot of different stuff that he's brought up. I want to keep Canadian bacon, maybe make it fried bacon.
Oh, okay. How could we alter Canadian bacon to make it fried bacon?
You know, you got to add a little crisp to it. Maybe bring not just hockey, but another little sport to it at the same time. Maybe there's a southern sport that you could bring to it.
Okay. Maybe bass fishing? Maybe NASCAR?
Absolutely.
Okay. And finally, how would you make life easier for Pete the Body?
I would, you know, he's a new dad. I'm a new dad. You are as well. I have dressed up as a mascot, so if I need to brighten his day by dressing up as a mascot, I can do that as well.
Okay.
But I wonder if he can work with the Braves fans.
Oh, yeah, that'll be hard. That'll be hard for Pete to sit next to a Braves fan every day. Okay, well, thank you very much, Michael. Michael in Tennessee has thrown his name into the hopper. We are going to go back over all of the listener interviews over the course of the week and kind of sift through them by the end of the week. I do like that now multiple candidates have cited their experience as mascots.
That's right in the job descriptor.
I'd really like to bring that to my bosses. Hey, guys, we have a couple of solid candidates that we interviewed on the air. What they bring to the table primarily is their experience being mascots. We know they have no experience being a producer, but we do think their experience being a mascot would be helpful.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.